the live poinsettias that was generously donated by the Osceola Memory Gardens look so well. And Josh made them into a shape of a Christmas tree. And when I bend my head over, it looks like a star on it. So I told him, leave it up. Can't get any better than Christmas than that. What you laughing about so hard, girls? One day, when you get married, your husband will eventually end up sort of like this. You lose your hair, your teeth start falling out, next thing you know, you need the pins. Right back to the birth age. All right. I'm going to announce it again. The No Discovery Club at all. We are on Christmas break. Just like you kids like a Christmas break, we adults took ours a week. We started a week early, and we're staying a week later. There will be no Discovery Club or Youth Zone until January the 9th. The bus will continue to run, but will be 30 minutes late, except on the 2nd. I cannot run the bus on the 2nd. So unless somebody else can fill that spot, I cannot do it. I have something that I'm scheduled to be away. So the 26th, the bus will run 30 minutes later, and then again on the 9th, back to the original schedule. Back on the original schedule. The 9th, we'll start our Bible clubs back up. Is that right, Miss Jill? Discovery Club? And the Youth Zone will start back up on the 9th as well. When do you kids have to go back to school? The 8th? See there? We're staying right on schedule, just like we're supposed to. So the bus will run next week, but no Bible clubs. If you want to come, we're glad to have you. Actually, we had 15 on the bus today without any games being done tonight. So it speaks well for the kids that came, and we're glad they're here. All right, Psalms 93. Now, we started this 2 weeks ago, and last week there was the discovery presentation, and I just want to talk a little bit about the about not fainting. And so I wanted to encourage our workers, because it can get tiresome. It can. There's an old song. It's called Thank You, Lord. And every now and then, if you're working in any sort of kids' ministries, you ought to go and listen to it, because it will encourage you for sure. Psalms 93, verse 1. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Now, when we started this, I gave a little bit of introduction. I talked to you about a verse, a hymn that we sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, oh what foretaste of glory divine. And I'm just going to tell you, those that walk by faith have blessed assurance. Certainly do. And so this psalm is a very encouraging type psalm, because just to be honest, the things of this world, when help begins to fail, when we suffer loss, when sin in the world seems so strong, and I'll tell you, it really does. If you look around, it seems as though the things of this world are more and more attractive and more enticing than ever before. Now, I understand, sin, it's been around. I honestly don't believe it's any worse today than it was in the day of Noah. It's just we're living in it right now. I do believe, though, from the time I was a young boy to now, that it just seems like it's just more prevalent. It's out there in any shape, form, or fashion. And so this chapter is very, very encouraging because it lets us see that the Lord reigns. Though there be men and though there be those that would tend to want to be in control of everything and make everything as evil as they can be, the Lord reigneth. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, that thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And so the Lord's in charge, and he will always be in charge, and it doesn't matter what takes place in your life or in the world or in the country which we call home. It doesn't matter what really takes place. God's still going to be on his throne. He's just not going to get up and relinquish his throne just because of the situation of the hour, the time of our troubles. His throne is forever and forever. And he cannot be removed because he is the sovereign God of the universe. And so we looked at that. We looked at his strength there in verse 93:1 and verse 4. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Verse 4, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. And of course, because of that and his strength, and the seas and the waves and everything has its place, and it does as he tells. We, as mere mortals, sometimes we're like the man in Mark, wherever he approached the Lord with a great need, and the Lord said, if you just believe, he said, I believe. Well, Lord, you got to help my unbelief. And so our unbelief does not diminish the Lord's strength. And the Lord said, Jesus said upon this earth, he said while he was here, he said, all the power and all the strength that the Father has, he has. That is saying a lot. It is saying a lot for us. Whenever the Lord we serve can calm seas, calm storms, make the waves cease, and things of that nature. Dear friend, we got to look to him and got to look for him, during our troubled times and our storms of life and say, listen, if he could do this literally, then my emotions cannot even be equal to the seas of the world when the Lord can calm them. So, you know, our emotions can get out of whack. And so with the Lord, we got to look and say, Lord, if you can still the sea and you can calm the storm, if you can split the Red Sea so they can go, Lord, you can calm me. And Lord, you can keep me in perfect peace. And so, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know exactly the way you're going to do it, Lord, but I have some doubts. But Lord, I believe. You just help me with this unbelief because I know that you're well able and that you can. And so we looked at that area, and so tonight we're going to pick up with the Lord's purpose. And verse number 1, let's read it again. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty, the Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established that it cannot be moved. You know, when you read the Bible, when you go back to Genesis chapter number 1, and as you study the scripture, it says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And so, when it says that, it's to me, it's saying that God wants us to know, because this is his book, it's his word, God wants us to know that it's about Him allowing us to get to know Him. And so it's established in His purpose in the Word of God, in the beginning God. So in the very purpose of the whole book, the whole Bible, is that we might get to know the God of heaven. And that we can have, opportunity to understand His purpose. And His purpose was certainly the redemption of mankind. Revelation 13:8 says, from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain. And so His purpose is that all should come to know Him as Lord and Savior. And all should become the children of God. And so the devil has tried to destroy that plan from the very beginning. Man, religion, has tried to destroy that, the plan of God. But I'll tell you this, dear friend. We exist as a church today because of God's purpose. We exist in our walk day by day because it's God's purpose for our life. And so when He says here, the world also established that it cannot be moved, dear friend, the purpose of God is fixed. It's yea and amen. Now man may change, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so that's a blessed thing, because if you look in verse number 2 of this chapter, the throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. You know, God is eternal, and His purpose is eternal. And it has not either been a long time nor a short time with God. With God, 1,000 years is like a day. And a day is like 1,000 years. And so as you look at the things that's going on around us, you might be asking, Lord, it's pretty wicked. I mean, things around us, it's not looking too good, Lord. The young man just this week, 15 years old, walking to school, and just got gunned down up here in Orlando. I believe Tuesday morning or so, maybe Monday morning, I forget which one. He's just headed to school there, and somebody just decided to take his life. Lord, it's pretty wicked, what's going on here? But you got to remember, the Lord is eternal, and 1,000 years is a day with the Lord, and a day is 1,000 years, Lord. And you say, well, Lord, what's going on? You got to do something. Remember, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He's not willing that any should perish. So yeah, it's been 2,000 years since the cross of Calvary or so, give or take a few years. It's been for us like, wow. But that's been like 2 days with the Lord. He's not slack. Well, what's He waiting on? He's allowing mankind to come to the realization that, hey, there is a Savior, there is hope, there is eternity in heaven, and a hell to shun. You say, well, I wish He would hurry up and come. I guarantee you, dear friend, if you were lost and you were the last one to get saved, you'd be glad the Lord had waited. Just think about it with me. I don't know. Brother Chase, help me out. How long you been saved? Can you count the years, 46 years. How many in here is under 35 years old? That's a good amount of people. What if He was the last one that got saved? And everybody after Him in this room would be in hell today. Aren't you glad God's not slack concerning His promise? I mean, you put it in perspective. I think that's what Paul was saying. Lord, I'm in a fix. I want to go home and to be with You and be blessed. But Lord, I've got to stay here. No, I'm just thankful that the Lord doesn't count time like you and I. To be honest with you, dear friend, this year has flown by. I mean, It seems like just yesterday or the week before, Brother Jim, we were giving these poinsettias away. And now, next Sunday, we're going to give them away again. I mean, it's just like, bang, this whole year, I mean, has just flown by. I mean, it's just going as fast and fast as it can. And I say, yay, even so, Lord Jesus, come, but come at your time. Come when you're ready. And I'll be honest with you, dear friend, I'm very thankful. I'm telling you, John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, he was looking for him to come then. Aren't you glad he didn't come then? Every last one of us would be without hope. Be without hope. So the Lord's eternal and he's timeless. And his purpose is that he might present the Lamb of God to all the world, that he might call out a name unto himself amongst the Gentiles and call them out and allow them opportunity to trust the Lord and Savior as their personal Lord and Savior. Look in verse number 5. The testimonies are very sure. You know, when the Lord says a thing, it's complete, dear friend. When the Lord has said it, when the Lord has written it down and he's preserved it, he put it in here and he closed and canonized this old book, and as he said it, dear friend, it's a done deal. I mean, his testimonies are very sure. Look over with me at James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. And verse number 11. James 5 and verse number 11. Listen to what it says. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, and the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. I mean, you've heard of, as James points out, dear friend, as we, you know, the patience of Job. How many of you have ever heard somebody say that? One of you older folks probably have. You know, you got to have the patience of Job and so forth, dear friend. Well, the Lord's testimonies are very sure. And whenever he was dealing with Job, and Job was going through all that, dear friend, from the very beginning of the situation, it didn't look too happy. And the end of the story didn't look like an everlasting, you know, forever. When they say that, those crazy books that, and forever and ever, what's the ending of them silly romance books? There you go. Well, Jim, out of all the people, Sarah did it. Thank you, Sarah. Happily ever after. I'm telling you, whenever you was reading the first portion of Job, and as you went through the chapter after chapter after chapter, many of you remember, we went through that thing verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we looked at it. It didn't seem like there was no happily ever after. But when God finished the thing, dear friend, he was blessed beyond measure. Before was not even comparable to what he had at the end. Because, listen, the Lord's testimonies are sure, and yea, and amen. And listen, Job, we should hold on to like the Job's integrity. You know, when it was all said and done, when his wife said, "Won't you curse God and die?" He held on to the fact that God was God. And as he held on to that, dear friend, he held on to the testimonies of the Lord. And he knew when the Lord was finished. Look over in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. When the Lord had finished allowing the devil to come through, when the Lord got done with what the devil had done to Job, it was like the blessings at the end had wiped away all that Job had went through. And I'm telling you, that's a picture of us. And when we get to heaven, different, all that we've gone through, and it doesn't compare to nothing what Job went through. But all that we go through, when we get to heaven and God, and we see God face to face, dear friend, I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. Those that endure, that is the blessings. And the Lord says, there's a couple of times He wipes away the tears in our eyes. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. I mean, He is faithful. And when it says here in Psalms 93, the testimonies, thy testimonies are very sure. I mean, it's like it says in Hebrews chapter number 6 and 19, the hope, the anchor, the hope that we have, the anchor of inside, you know, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yea and amen. Look at Psalms 93:5 again. We're going to finish up right here. We'll probably finish up about 5 minutes early tonight. Maybe. But this is a good thing to know, you know, to look at and to pull out when we look at this verse. Thy testimonies are very sure. And listen what it says. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, wait a minute. Surely it's talking about the temple way back yonder. Sure, way back yonder. But way back today, right now, what? Know ye not? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You are the temple of God. And if He said this, holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, just until the temple is all tore down by the Romans. What did He say, Brother Paul? Forever sealed, Sister Barbara. What did He say? It's settled in heaven. Till when? Forever. Forever. Our hearts, dear friend, provide Him a throne. You remember? Let allow Him the preeminence of our life. Our heart is the throne of God. As He sits upon there and He lives, He gives us peace that passes all understanding. And in the middle of that, dear friend, I love peace. I love understanding. But He said, holiness becometh thine house. I mean, holy and righteous conduct. Let me just tell you something, dear friend. Holy and righteous conduct is the only proper standard of behavior for Christians. There's no option in this. Why? Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. For every circumstance. We cannot allow, we cannot get to the point, dear friend, where we allow the ends to justify the means. Because I'm going to tell you, dear friend, the way we get down the road as the Lord's house, this is not our body, the way we get from point A to point B, it matters to God. It may not matter to you, it may not matter to me from day to day, it may not matter to this old wicked world we live in, but I'm going to tell you something different. It matters to God. I don't know about you. I am so thankful that I am saved, born again, forever.
Amen.
Well, that same forever, talking about eternal salvation, is the same forever as it talks about holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. It is a great realization to know of God's presence in our lives. I don't know of a truth that baffles me as much as to know that the God of heaven resides in me. I mean, it's a strange thing for a human body. I mean, it's strange to know that when I accepted Christ, my personal Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself, took up residence inside of me. But you know, knowing the things that I've done after I've trusted Christ as my Savior, and He still abides. You know the old saying, you know, when lawyers years ago would, or a doctor or something, or somebody that you hang out a shingle. When I got saved, dear friend, God hung a shingle upon my name, upon me. It's I've got a new name, a new creature, I'm a new person. I'm a person where the Holy Ghost of God lives and resides in. So there's no other option outside of good, godly, holy, righteous conduct behavior. And there's no excuse for us to say, well, I'm living in the flesh. Yeah, we are living in the flesh with God Almighty living in us. And God said, holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2 real quick. Ephesians chapter 2. You know what helps us to face life, dear friend, without anxiety as a child of God? You know, it should. I know we do it. I get the same with one. I get anxious. I get worried. I get troubled. But what should keep us from that, and what should be a help during that, is to know that God lives in you. You are His house. And He dwells in you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, listen to what it says. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Isn't it amazing? The God of heaven, in the beginning God, who created everything. Everything that we know. There's some pretty things. There's some pretty beautiful things. How do I say that? There's some very beautiful things, some very pretty things. There's some wonderful things that God has created for us to enjoy. I mean, they name, you know, some wonders of the world. I don't know how many of you have ever been to Niagara Falls or Grand Canyon or you know, over into the Rocky Mountains or up into the Smoky Mountains and seeing waterfalls. And, you know, some of you find beauty out into the ocean, you know, out there as you look upon the ocean and the waves and all that stuff. And, you know, the corals. I've done a little bit of snorkeling and I kind of enjoy that, but it's getting into the water past the sand that really kills me. I can't handle it. You know, but as you get out, I mean, there's all kind of beauty. I mean, Brother Paul, name something that's just beautiful that you've seen. I throw the bone at you.
The Grand Canyon.
The Grand Canyon. Sister Dyer, something beautiful that you've seen that really sticks in your mind. The sunset. Wow, that's a good one. There's a bunch of Sister Rhonda. Great Barrier Reefs. Sister Lois, you travel a little bit. The Island of Guam. Brother Bill?
My wife.
Oh. Are you in the doghouse? Sister Jill, do we need a counsel with him after church? He's in the doghouse. That's a sweet one, Brother Bill. Everybody say, ah. That's a good one. I mean, we can sit here all day. I mean, all day long. Brother Johnson, look what you've seen.
Everything.
the Everglades, and 18-foot pythons. I mean, there's some beautiful stuff in this world. Some beautiful stuff. Ava, what you've seen this beauty? Tell me his name. I won't tell. It'll be our secret. We family. Listen to me. The God of heaven, who created all that stuff we're talking about right now, is making a new creation out of you and I. He's working on us. And he's dealing with us. Why? For a habitation of God. As the Spirit lives within us, he begins to carve this out, carve that out, chisel this away, knock this away. Why? So we can be presented. I mean, be presented as a bride that's adorned with glory and majesty. That's the God that lives within us, dear friend. I mean, this is amazing stuff. When you read Psalms 93, dear friend, that ought to encourage you and lift you up to know the Lord reigns. He is strong. He says it like this. He said, when you're weak, I'm strong. I'm weak all the time, Noah. That means he's strong all the time. That God's purpose hasn't changed since the foundation of the earth. Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain. His purpose was that men and women, boys and girls might know him as personal Lord and Savior. Be able to talk to him, fellowship with him. To be able to call him Father. I mean, it's just amazing. He's not in a big hurry because he's timeless. I mean, he's just timeless. It's just the things that are found there in this Psalms 93 should encourage you. And if you're down and you're out and you're bothered and you're troubled, you got to be like David. Ziklag up in smoke, all of this stuff carried off, and his men of valor wanting to kill him. He turned to the Lord and found encouragement. How do we do that? In the Word. In the Word. Find encouragement in the Word of God. Let's stand to our feet.